Matthew 24, we'll begin in verse 3 this morning, a little bit of reading. The Word of God says, "And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ." It would better be understood, I am of Christ. How many do you see today claiming to be of the Lord, but they are far from Him? "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ," or am of Christ, "and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. But then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." And again he says, "Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." What does iniquity mean? Iniquity in the simplest form is simply sin we justify. Sinful practices and habits and behaviors that we justify. Well, I do this because that's iniquity. Amen? "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Prior to the return of Jesus Christ, we're told right here by Jesus Christ Himself, "Before I return, I want you to understand this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the four corners of the world. As a witness, then the end shall come." Amen. This morning's message, I'm going to call it the earmarks of the last day's church. The earmarks of the last day's church. Time as we know it is running down. The Bible said the earth is waxing old like a garment. Jesus Christ is about to burst that eastern sky, and He's about to return. Amen. But before He does, there's a church that's got to do its job. Amen. Hallelujah. The earmarks of the last day's church. Let's go to prayer. Father, again, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that name above every name, we come into Your presence. And we ask You this morning, O God, our Father, that You enable us to preach the Word, to preach the Gospel, that our hearts be open to truth. Lord, move in this time, this service, move in this people, this congregation, move in live stream, O God, wherever this message goes on CD or DVD. Lord, bless them, give them their portion. Father, I pray, God, just move this morning, even on the children's church. Fill this house with Your glory. And this morning, everybody said amen and amen. Hallelujah. In the mind of God, there are basically four people groups or four entities that we're going to look at just for a few moments. In the mind of God, as He would look down upon the earth, the first people group He really looks upon is, or looks to, is the nation of Israel. Israel as a nation is really a family. They are of the lineage of Abraham, of whom God gave promises some 3,500 years ago that his seed would become as the multitude of the seashore. That has happened, that has been fulfilled. If you want to know what's going on with last day's events, they always tell us, look at Israel, for Israel is God's time clock. Amen? So there's a people group by the name of Israel, that family, the Jewish people, the ones that have been persecuted for almost since the beginning, amen, and especially during the last 100 years as they came back into, as they began to become a nation one more time, that God is moving in this last hour of time. And then we saw the Nazi Germany thing go on, where 6 million of them were almost extinguished from the face of the earth through that demon-possessed madman, Adolf Hitler. But I'm here to say that persecution has not gone away. Amen. That people group called Israel is still God's people. God still has his hand on that nation. The church has not replaced Israel. Amen. We've just been dealt with in spite of Israel. Amen. And God is yet going to do a great work in that people group called Israel, that great nation. The next people group that God looks at and deals with is this thing called the church. The body of Christ. Those that are part of this people group are the blood washed, the redeemed, the saved. Amen? Millions are gathered across this land and the world on a Sunday morning worshiping one they think is God, but many times, unless they are blood washed, they're just fulfilling time in their routine of mere religion. Amen? I've said this 100 times, but too many people that supposedly name the name of Jesus Christ have never been born again. They've never been blood washed. They embrace a philosophy of Christian principles and Christianity. We call it churchianity, but it is a people group called the blood washed, the redeemed, them that are born again. And as many as received him, to them gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There is a body of Christ. There is a group of true Christians that are blood washed this morning. Amen. And that body is a universal body. God looks down and he doesn't see buildings and walls and names across the top. He sees all those that are his children. Those that have been redeemed by the blood of his son. Those that have made room in their heart for Jesus Christ and are serious with God. And those are the ones whose names are entered into heaven's book of life. Amen. Make no mistake about it. I'm watching this. We read it in our text this morning. Last days, there's more deception than ever before. Amen? And that comes by people watering down the Word of God and making true Christianity just a mere formality. Amen? But that's a people group that God looks at. He looks at the church. He looks at this family called Israel. But then there's another people group that God deals with, and it's called the heathen. The world of the unsaved. Amen. If we're not born again in the body of Christ by faith in Jesus Christ, then God considers that individual part of the heathen. The heathen world. Amen. Even if they're moral, they're still considered by God heathen. They're unredeemed. They have not surrendered their heart and their life to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul told Titus this. He said, the Lord knows who are his. Therefore, let every man that names the name of Jesus Christ depart from iniquity. What is iniquity? I just told you the definition. Those who justify sinful behavior. Amen. Listen, God, through Jesus Christ, gave you and I power to overcome the dominion of sin in our life. We are not perfect in ourselves, but the one who lives in us, Jesus Christ, is the perfect one. And we've been given an imputed righteousness. And because of that imputed righteousness, God is not imputing our iniquities unto you and I that are blood washed. And when you and I have a sin issue, you and I don't feel right about it. And there's something in us that we want to get it right. We want peace with God. I want to come clean with the Lord. I don't want iniquity in my life. I don't want sin, amen. Howbeit, I still have sin troubles from time to time. The point being, I don't want that in my life because I'm human and I'm still under development. I still stumble from time to time. But a good man will stumble 7 times, but he gets up again. Amen. So let's look at the heathen world. We're looking at the world of the unsaved. This is a people group that God brings the harvest out of. Amen. Hallelujah. Understand, we got Israel, we got the church, and we got the heathen world, the unsaved world. That is what you and I are here to preach the gospel to. Amen. Israel is in that mix too, don't get me wrong. Israel is still unredeemed because she had rejected her Messiah, but God had made promises to Abraham. So God does keep his hand upon that people group, amen? Navigating that people group. And we know one day they have a future. But we look at the heathen world just for a little bit, that world of the unsaved. In that heathen world, religion is rampant. Amen? Religion is rampant. The heathen world makes up all the false religions, the atheist to the agnostic to the religious man, to all the false religions. But it's out of that people group that God brought you and I out of. Amen? Amen. And then the fourth group is what I call the satanic kingdom, the powers of darkness, every fallen angel, every demon spirit. Amen. And that is another entity that God has to deal with. So we got this entity called Israel. We got the entity called the church. We got this entity called the worldling, the heathen people, the unsaved, the unredeemed. Amen. And then we got this in the spiritual realm. We got the kingdom of darkness headed up by Lucifer or Satan himself. Amen. And so these are the four groups that God is dealing with in this last hour of time. Each of them having their certain place, and yet, let's look at this a little farther. In the eternal plan of God, the Bible says before this, how can I say, in God's master plan, these four people groups, let's understand. Number one, there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth one day, wherein dwells righteousness. The ultimate plan of God, when it's all said and done, not the too distant future. There's going to be a new heavens. There will be a new earth. Not so much a new earth made from nothing where God starts over, but a completely renovated world. Amen? Where heaven comes down to earth. Amen. And God sets up Jerusalem, the heavenly city that comes down 1,500 miles square, 1,500 miles high. And planet heaven will merge with planet earth one day. That's what the Bible says. Well, that's a fantasy, Pastor. No, that's the word of Almighty God. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but His word will endure forever. Where are we going with this? Now listen, the ultimate plan of God is to bring all these people groups into the eternal plan of God in the long term. God will not annihilate, in a sense, any of these groups. Whatever has been given life has life forever. It just depends where in eternity they will spend that life. Amen? But now let's look at Israel. So we got the people group called Israel. What's God's eternal plan for Israel? One day, Israel is going to be the capital of the world, Jerusalem. Amen? One day, Israel will accept her Messiah. One day Israel will be redeemed and be restored to her king. Amen? One day the Bible says that the literal King David in resurrected form will be an under-shepherd of the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, and he will reign from Jerusalem over the realm of earth. Amen? So the master plan of God, God with the entity of Israel, is going to fulfill every single promise that He made to Abraham and to Israel throughout her generations. Israel one day will be saved. Israel will be redeemed. She will be the capital of the world, maybe the universe for all we know. Amen? That is yet to happen. It will happen. It's not in doubt. It's coming. It's going to be. It will be. It will happen. You can't change it. No man can change it. No devil can change it. Israel will be saved. And King David, oh, to go shake his hand. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. So Israel, the ultimate plan and providence of God is to save that people. Now we look at the entity of the church for a moment. What's God's eternal plan for the church? The Bible says you and I, as part of the redeemed, are going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. One day you and I will be given new glorified bodies. Amen. Right now we have the deposit of His Spirit. We have a little down payment of eternal bliss. We have been saved, we have been regenerated, we have a new heart, and God has a plan. Amen? And that plan is to save his people completely and blessing them with a new glorified body. And you and I will rule and reign in glory with Jesus Christ, the one whom we love, who bought us, who saved us, who hung on the tree for us. Amen. That is God's eternal plan. Amen. The church will be fully redeemed and with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That is where we are going one day. You and I, as the blood washed, the blood redeemed, those whose names are in the heaven's book of life, will one day be riding white horses next to Jesus Christ, coming back with the armies of heaven, raptured out of this life. Amen? Hallelujah. That is God's master plan. That will happen. It will come to pass. Amen. Amen. So Israel will be saved. The church will be glorified with Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning with her. And you know, when we come back with Jesus Christ after the great tribulation, the Bible says ruling and reigning with him, there's a good chance that you and I in the body of Christ will be assigned a province in this world to be a shepherd under the under-shepherd, Jesus Christ himself. And you and I will deal with that little sphere, whatever he appoints us. Amen. Think about that. Ruling and reigning with him. You tell me what that means. Amen? And then one day, in the new heavens and the new earth, you and I will have glorified bodies. Now we look at the world. Now where's God's master plan for the world? Society as we know it is doomed. Let me say it one more time. Society as we know it is doomed. It is doomed. There is no hope for society as it is. But when Jesus Christ comes back to this world and he sets up his 1,000-year reign over the earth realm, and you and I as glorified saints are ruling and reigning with him in the earth realm, then for 1,000 years, the natural people that are left that have survived the great tribulation and the pouring out of the wrath and judgment of God on this world. And the Bible is very clear with that. There will only be about a third of the population left. But God will work with that. And he'll re-begin generations of natural people. But that will be subjected to the lordship and rule of Jesus Christ. Amen. The plan of God for the world is that the world come under judgment for her rejection of God's plan of redemption, Jesus Christ. Amen? All men will stand before God and have to give an account. And the Bible says God will give a man in the great tribulation, in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, he'll give a man 100 years to change his mind about salvation. If he won't change his mind, then he will die a natural death and be exiled into the lake of fire forever. You say, well, that's not merciful. 100 years when you got Jesus Christ standing right in front of you and you still reject? You think that's mercy, friend. Amen. God will give you 100 years to get it right. Amen. Think about that. The people groups as we know it, this world is about to undergo a change. Amen. Now you think about it. There are scriptures that tell us Satan will know that his time is short. And so we deal with this last entity, the demonic realm. All those uprisings that we're starting to see, the wars and the rumors of wars. You look at what happened over the weekend in Paris. You look at this. That will come to our shores, friend, if this nation doesn't start turning back to God. We are not special beyond any other people group in this world unless we embrace Jesus Christ. And if God holds back judgment, it is to get the gospel, as we read in our text, to the four corners of the world, then the end will come. Amen. So let's look at the demonic world. What's the end of the demonic world? The Bible says right now that men are in hell, but there's not one demon spirit in hell right now. I hope you know that. I know preachers, when we preach, will say things like, we're going to cast Satan back to the pit where he belongs. He's never been in the pit yet. There's not one demon spirit been exiled into the pit except for those fallen angels that are bound by chains but will be loosed in the great tribulation and loosed at the end of the millennial reign for a short season. There's a demonic realm right now, and friend, it would do you and I good. We don't get overconscious of them. But you got to understand, you and I as a spiritual being, a spiritual entity, as a child of God, have a mark upon us, and that mark is a bullseye for the powers of darkness to try to take you out. Amen? And to get you and I to fall by unbelief. You know, it's been said, can a man lose his salvation? Nobody loses their salvation, but it can be forfeited. Well, how do you forfeit it, Pastor? How much sin does it take? It's really not the amount of sin. It's the type of sin that takes you out. And that sin is called the sin of unbelief. You watch a man, a woman, go into unbelief, sin always takes over. But the reason the sin is taking over is they're in unbelief. If they're in faith, then the victory of the cross is giving them power to overcome. And sin isn't maybe troubling us a little bit on some fronts, but it's not overpowering us. Amen? And so the default is unbelief. And once you go into unbelief, we forfeit what God has given us because we're no longer trusting in Jesus Christ for everything, for our salvation. Amen? So we got the four people groups. We got Israel, we got the church, we got the worldlings, and we got the demonic realm. The demonic realm will end up in the lake of fire someday. But before all of this goes down, and before everything changes in this world, and before Jesus Christ comes back, he said one thing that's going to happen. He said in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So it tells me, prior to the return of Jesus Christ, prior to the end of all things, prior to the new heavens and the new earth and the millennial reign and the great tribulation, which is yet to come, then there's something God is going to do for you and I in this thing called the body of Christ, what we know as the church. Amen? And friend, I'm here to say, it's going to be a glorious church. It's going to be a church without spot, without wrinkle. The church's best hours are yet ahead of us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at some of the earmarks. First of all, Jesus said before he comes, it's going to be a glorious church. The Word of God tells us in Ephesians that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The church he's talking about is going to be holy, it's going to be glorious, it's going to be without blemish. Amen. Now you might look and wonder, how can that be? Because look at us as human beings. Look at our struggles, our troubles, our problems, our idiosyncrasies, our issues. How can Christ, in the last days, provide himself a glorious church without spot and wrinkle? You know how it's going to happen? How it's going to come? It is coming through the preaching of the cross. It is coming through the preaching of the blood. It is coming back to the righteousness provided by God through Jesus Christ. Amen? And this is where he's bringing us. Amen. This glorious church, this last day's church, you may not like it, but I love it. And I'm here to say it's going to be a cross-centered church, a church that will glory in the finished work of her Savior, that will hold up Jesus and his shed blood for us and his finished work. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's the only thing that can make you and I glorious and without blemish and without blame. Amen. The Bible says God's going to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy and glory. Amen? Now, how can he do that? It is by you and I, as we hear that message of this last hour of time. It is getting back to your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, the one who loved you, died for you, gave himself for you. Amen? Hallelujah. And as you and I get anchored and rooted in the cross and the finished work, God sees us as glorious. God sees us as holy. God sees us as perfect in his Son. Hallelujah. I'm here to say, listen, in this last hour of time, there are two rivers going contrary. They're running parallel, but they're going in different directions. And I'm beginning to see this. It's not so much the legalistic church. It's the hyper-grace church. I believe in the grace of God. I believe God's grace answers all things. I thank God for His grace. I thank God for the grace provided in Jesus Christ. But the true grace of God makes me aware of the one who paid such a price to redeem me from my condition of original sin. Amen. And grace will flow to me as I rest in what He has done for me, knowing why I'm saved. Amen. And for me to embrace a grace that enables me to go into license, there's something wrong with that message. God is merciful to our iniquities. He's merciful to us. He's patient with us. But it's not an excuse for loose living. And when you look out there, there's a lot of loose living under people that profess Jesus Christ. We've exchanged the glory of God for corruptible things, such as silver and gold, and the fame of people, of man. Much of the church, I'm going through Ezekiel right now, reading Ezekiel. And I see what God has given him. I just come through Jeremiah. I came through Lamentations. Now I'm in Ezekiel. And you deal with these men who were given a message to the church of that day. And it's all about them mingling with the gods, the heathen gods of the land, and bringing them into their worship. There's something wrong with that, my friend. Amen. Where's our separation? Where's our separation? I didn't say isolation. There's a big difference. Legalistic Christianity will isolate you from the world. True Christianity will separate you from the world. But it won't make you think you're better than that person in the world. Amen. The hyper-grace movement says nothing matters. We got Jesus. We got all we need. We'll just go live what you want. Do what you want. Make idols of the land. It don't matter. Preachers now preaching that you never have to ask God for forgiveness once you're saved by grace. You never have to offend God by saying, God, forgive me today of what I just did. Try that in your marriage once. See how that's going to work. Amen? Come on, think about it. The grace of God demands that if I do wrong and my conscience is pricked, I need to make it right first with God and with men. Amen. I'm still accountable for my actions, my behavior, what I do, what I don't do. I'm still fully accountable to God and to man. Amen. But in this glorious church, the provision of Jesus Christ. I could tell I haven't preached a couple weeks here. My voice has to be built up again. Amen. Hallelujah. But think about it. This glorious church, it's going to become more glorious. Listen, do you realize before the rapture comes, God's going to get the attention of the world through the body of Christ one more time. One more time. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. The earmarks of the last days church, it's going to be a glorious church, but it's going to be an awakened church. Bible says, according to Paul in Ephesians 5, awake thou that sleeps and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Arise. Awake from the dead. The church is asleep. But guess what? God's going to awaken His bride. He's going to awaken His body. The time is coming. God again is going to pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. And your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I'm here to say there's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the last hour of time. And the church will be more glorious than ever before. Hallelujah. I'm here to say, this last day's church, before everything is said and done, before the new heavens and new earth, before the great tribulation, before the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, I'm here to say God's going to get the attention of the world because God is going to pour out of His Spirit, and this gospel is going to go to the four corners of the world. Amen.
Hallelujah. Our greatest day is yet ahead of us. I'm here to say your greatest day is ahead of you. The greatest hour for the body of Christ is ahead of you. Hallelujah. Let's believe God for the best. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. It's going to be a glorious church. It's going to be an awakened church. But it's going to be an empowered church. Hallelujah. Miracles are coming again. Healings are coming again. The dead raised is coming again. The power of resurrection is coming again. The gifts of the Spirit are going to return to the body of Christ. The fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, God is going to yet raise it up one more time. Hallelujah. One more time. Oh, you think, you know, we just been in the routine of Christian life. We just been in the routine of church services. But God's about to open this thing up. There's going to be some changes coming, friend. There are some changes coming. Hallelujah. And I'm here to say there's going to be a dark hour for this world, but it's going to be a glorious hour for the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's going to be a glorious church. It's going to be an awakened church. It's going to be an empowered church. You know, I preached this a while back, but if the early church had the glory and the power of God, don't you think the latter church needs that? And if this world is an empowered world by the powers of hell and darkness, don't you think God needs an empowered church that is greater than the powers of hell and darkness? Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I don't know if you're here today or not. I'm going to preach it. Listen to this. It's going to be a glorious church. It's going to be an awakened church. It's going to be an empowered church. But it's going to be a church that has been given new garments. New garments. The Word of God tells us in Zechariah 3, referring to Israel, but it refers to the church too. Talking about Joshua the high priest, talking about spiritual leadership. It says, take away the filthy garments from him and say unto him, I have caused your iniquity to pass from you, and I will clothe you with a change of raiment. This church is going to take off those soiled garments of the world. This glorious church is going to become clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It will be a church separated unto God, full of God, full of life, full of majesty, full of power, full of the goodness and the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. New garments. New garments. I put on my new garment when I came to the cross. When I began to understand that everything provided for me is in the blood, in the finished work of the Son of God, I felt like I was saved all over again. Those filthy garments of legalism, of self-righteousness. The sin of the modern church and the sin of most believers is self-righteousness. And it's proven by the agendas they're always trying to push forth. I just preached to you about the grace of God. The true grace of God will teach you to live separated unto God in a glorious liberty of fellowship with Jesus Christ. Separated from the world, but yet fully involved in the world. You got to work. You got to still put gas in your car. You still got to go to the grocery store. You still have unsaved neighbors. Paul said if we're to fully separate from the adulterers, the effeminate, and the fornicators of this world, we must go out of the world then. I'm telling you, this grace works the best when you and I have to see another human being behave the way you and I used to. And how you found mercy. And God had mercy on you when some brother, some sister looked at you as a worldling at one time in your history. It's a nice way of saying Jesus never thought he was above that world he came to save. He saw people's need. He saw men's hearts. He saw them as sheep scattered without a shepherd. Amen. And I want to remind you, you take the worst of human beings, you that Islamic group, savages, barbaric, full of hate. But I want to tell you something. Jesus died for them too. And Jesus loved them and does love them, but not their sin. Problem, the church, we get saved, God moves on us, and now we think we're better than everybody else, and we walk around with a chip on our shoulder, how good we are. My goodness is only predicated of the Son of God living in me. The only reason God can bless me is because of Christ in me. That's it. The only reason God can bless you and has blessed you is because of the Jesus you've made room for in your heart. God cannot bless a man, bless a woman outside of Christ in you. Think about that. It's the Christ in you that God blesses. Because Christ is the only one whom God the Father said, in this one am I well pleased. And that was in his Son, Jesus Christ. That changes things a little bit, doesn't it? We get people that are angry with God. Why doesn't he bless me? Why doesn't he do something for me? Do you know Jesus Christ? No. I believe in God. Well, God can't bless you because the one whom is the mediator between you and God, you won't have nothing to do with. Amen? And when a man, a woman has nothing to do with Jesus Christ, there's nothing God can do for you except keep dealing with your heart to come to Jesus. Amen? It's not so hard. Not so hard. So think about it. This last hour, this last day's church, it's going to be glorious. It's going to be awakened. It's going to have new garments. It's going to be empowered. But you hear me. It's going to be a church that will keep rank. It's a church that will keep rank. Amen. David, in 1 Chronicles 12, you got to hear this. When God was building David a kingdom and building men for David's army, this is what it says. 1 Chronicles 12, you can read it yourself. You'll find it in there. He said that, number one, these were men that had understanding of the times. Amen? The body of Christ in this last hour of time needs men and women that have an understanding of the times we're living in. To bury your head in the proverbial sand and to say, oh, que sera, whatever will be, you're not understanding the time you and I are living in. This is the greatest hour for the church, but it's not going to come without a cost. To you, to our person, to our family, and maybe to our nation. God was building David an army, and that tells me in this last day's church, that's what I feel it is. It's a picture story. David had that great army. Don't you think God needs that great army in the last hour? But it'll be a church empowered by Jesus Christ. It's a church that had men that had understanding of the times. You know, when you understand the times, you know, Paul said it this way, you have 1,000 instructors, but you sure don't have many fathers. You know what he's talking? You know what Paul got frustrated with? Everybody wants to be a Bible teacher. Everybody's got a little doctrine, a little something, a little cutesy Bible verse they want to put on their refrigerator and ram down everybody's throat. But you have very few men and women that are mature in the faith, that have an understanding of what in the world is going on in the spirit world and in the natural world. Very few that have grown in the grace of God, that have come to unity of the faith, and an understanding of what the blood of the covenant is all about. Amen. Amen. I want to mature. I want to grow up. I don't want to be a baby food the rest of my spiritual life. Amen. Hallelujah. These were men that could keep rank, men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Amen. What does that mean today, Pastor? Men and women that have heard from God, that knows the next step the church is to take. I'm going to say it this way. God isn't into petsy little cutesy programs. They may serve a purpose, but you know what God is into? Men and women that take time to get to know Him and start hearing from God and come in with their sleeves rolled up. Say, Pastor, we got a lot to do. We're going to show up on Wednesday night. We're going to get the prayer meeting. We're going to get here on Sunday mornings, and we're going to bring as many as we can with us because time is short, because we have an understanding of what's going on out there. Time is short, and the church is going to be glorious, but I want to be part of what God's going to do. I want to be part of that body of Christ that God is moving in. Amen. I want to support what God is in and what God is moving through. Amen. Have an understanding of the times and has an understanding to know what the church needs to do. Amen. Wow, is it getting quiet? I thought we'd be all shouting tonight or today. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not done yet, though. Think about it. The church of this last hour, men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, men that are expert in war. Expert in war. That tells me God wants to raise up men and women that have some battle scars on them, that have gone through a few rounds with the powers of hell and the powers of darkness and are still on the front row of the church. Amen. Men and women that have been tested and tried and have been come against by people and devils and demons, and they're still standing. They still have a smile on their face. They know how to take on the powers of hell and stand, having done all to stand there for. They've got the armor of God. Hallelujah. I'm here to say, men that are expert in war. Expert in war. Hallelujah. And that's when I say men, I speak of men and women in the body of Christ. We need men of God, we need mothers of Israel. What does that mean? That means women that have matured in the faith, that are women. Women of God, that love God, separated unto God, keep their house, guide their families, are a blessing, not a burden. Amen. And men of God that know how to keep rank, know how to guide their household to the best of their ability. Amen. That though none go with them, yet they're going to follow Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. These people, this last hour's church, will hold to its mission, its purpose, its call, its responsibility. They have understanding. They know what Israel needs to do. They're expert in war, and they're skillful with all instruments of war. Amen. I've heard it said years ago, the preacher's writing how to build the church, how to take on the kingdom of darkness, have never fought a lion, they've never fought a bear, and they sure have never taken on a Goliath. Amen? The ones that come across as knowing it all have been through nothing. But let the powers of hell assail. Let the winds blow. Let the rains of circumstances come down on that life. And no matter what happens, no matter what that person goes through, no matter who leaves them, who kicks them in the ribs, they know how to stand. They know how to keep or do war. They know how to fight these battles in the Spirit by the faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah. I'm here to say, hallelujah. Today we get shook up so easy, and it doesn't take nothing to put us on the bar stool. It doesn't take nothing to put another cigarette in your hand, another drink in your... It doesn't take nothing to get us upset and spill out profanity. But I'm here to say, don't come under guilt and condemnation. Come under conviction of the Holy Spirit, because God isn't done with you yet. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. They're skillful with all instruments of war. They know how to use the word. They know how to use prayer. They know how to use dedication and commitment. They know how sanctification works. They know how to use the name of Jesus. Amen. And these men, these women, they'll keep rank. They may not like the way everything, they might not like every decision David makes, but they keep rank. They stay in their place. Amen. You know, there's no shortcut to this. There's a glorious church going to emerge in this world in this last hour of time. And folks, it's time for every one of us to get serious with Jesus Christ. Amen. Your faith in the Son of God and being part of the body of Christ that God has made you part of. And do your part. They'll keep rank. And it says, these are men that are not of double heart. Double heart. One day it's faith, one day it's unbelief. One day it's we're with you, the next day they're talking behind your back. You do that in the military, they'll court-martial you. It's called going AWOL. When the going gets tough, we run away. It doesn't say that. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Amen. These were men that understood what was going on. And God's going to raise up ministry in this last hour of time that have been through the fire, that have been through the flood, that have taken on a bear and a lion and have actually got the victory over a few Goliaths. Amen. When you look at them, they'll be battle scarred. They may not have the perfect reputation you think they should have. They may have some struggles, some troubles, some problems. It may be not the prettiest, the nicest, the most handsome, but there'll be men and women that have been blood washed and that through their hand in hand with Jesus Christ, they've come through it all and they're still standing and their hand is still hand in hand with their Savior. Amen. You'll be hated of all nations for His name's sake. We need to be upheld by the hand of God. Because our best hour is yet to come. Our best hour is yet to come. Amen. Musicians, please. It'll be a church that keeps rank, but it's going to be a church that's been restored. Have you lost a few things in life because of your faith in Jesus Christ? Do you have some friends and family that have forsaken you? Do you have some situations that have worked against you? God said in Jesus Christ, He'll restore all to you. Whatever this life cheats you out of, it'll be made up in the next. But yet, we're to believe in this life, God can restore things to us that we've lost. We had to attend a birthday yesterday. It was my grandson. But going up north there, 2.5 hours away, I saw the great need in my own children, my daughters. Extensions of their family. And as a father, just when they've been raised right, they kick the convictions to the wall. But I'm thinking, my God is yet able to turn to captivity, to somehow break forth. And if He's got to clean their clock, then God clean it good. Amen. Whatever it takes for them to surrender to Jesus Christ and to come under the humiliating power of God. Because I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. Although none go with me, yet I'm going to follow Him. Amen. I'm here to say the greatest hour is yet to come and there's yet a full restoration for His children. Amen. Hallelujah. Gloria Larabasi Koloramashanda. God's going to restore His church. That means He's going to restore you. God's also going to chasten us. It'll be a chastened church. It'll be purged of its self-righteousness. God allows some persecution to come. But in the end, it'll be a delivered church through the rapture of the church. Amen. Great days are coming, my friend. The power of God is going to revisit the church. Can I say this in closing? When God moves in revival, it's not that God just from heaven says, let there be revival. Revival really is simply this. It is Christ in his presence, in essence, coming back to his rightful place in the body of Christ. It is God impermeating his body by drawing near to his body and then moving through what Jesus Christ is doing. This is why we get revival so messed up. We think we can make revival happen. Revival is God's business. Our part is to humble ourselves and to call on his name and to seek him for it. When Christ starts drawing near, then Christ himself is the one through the Holy Spirit that goes to work and pours out a great outpouring of his Spirit, and great things get done. We are between the revivals right now. We saw the great move of God in the 30s and 40s through the great healing movements. We saw the great evangelistic movements of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. But through a few stumblings of some major preacher names, Satan thinking he could take out the voice of men like John the Baptist and others that carried the weight of the direction of the church. I'm here to say, when that happened, when the cat's away, the mice rise up and play. That's what's happened the last 30 years in the church. Without strong leadership, the church has gone off course. And pansies in the pulpit have taken their place that stand for nothing. But this last day's church, it may be a few John the Baptists in a leather girdle. It may be a few preachers without all their teeth. It may be some backwoods Willie coming forth with the hand of God on his life and preaching, thus saith the Lord. Because when God moves in this last hour of time, no man will glory in what Christ is doing. All you can do is look and say, look what a great Savior we have. What a great God. Look what he's done. Look what God is doing. Hallelujah. That is yet to come. Oh, I want to be part of that. Let's stand. Let's stand. I got to read this. I got to read this. I got to read this. In closing, this is our end. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6, it begins there. Paul saying to that church, he says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Do you believe what you have heard today? In flaming fire, the church will come back with the Son of God, taking vengeance on this world and them that know not God and don't obey the gospel. That's our end. That's where this glorious church is going to end up, in the army of the Son of God. You and I are going to be part of the greatest army this world and this universe and this spiritual realm has ever known, the redeemed body of Christ in a glorified condition. We're coming back. I believe that today. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask eldership to come up. We're going to pray. Do you got a need today? Do you need a healing? Do you need a deliverance? Do you need an answered prayer? Do you need provision? Do you need a financial blessing? Do you need salvation? Do you need to come back? Do you need a greater sanctification in your life?
I believe in today. Today is a day to answer the call of God. It's a day to answer for prayer. It's a day to say, I need God. I need Jesus. I need Him to do a work in me. It's time for us to surrender our heart, our life fully to the Son of God. Or my friend, you'll be in outer darkness and you'll be from the outside looking in, wonder what's going on in that church when you've been, and I've been given plenty of opportunity to be part of what God is doing. I don't want to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. God loves you. He loves all of us, but He's drawing your heart. Let's come. Let's come. Go ahead, Sister Jackie. Let's come to this altar. Let's believe God. Let's come this morning. Let's believe Him today. Let's believe Him today. Let's come. If you're here today, let's come today. Let's believe God. Let's believe God today. Let's come. Let's be part of this last hour church. Let's believe God for great things today. Let's trust Him. Let's call on His name. Hallelujah. God, draw our heart. Let's let Him draw our heart today. Let's come to this altar. Let's call on His name. Come on.
To worship You, I live my life to worship You.
Draw your heart. Let Him draw your spirit.